Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It isn't over. It isn't over. This is Christmastide. We already talked about that. First Sunday in Christmastide, right? Welcome to the second day of the Christmas festival. This is the second day, you know, on the second day of Christmas, the two turtle doves and all that, if you're doing the 12-day countdown. So look for the turtle doves today. Were there any surprises under your Christmas tree this year? Who got a surprise? I got a surprise. Anybody else? I'm the only one that was surprised out of the whole place. Yeah, thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. All right. Did you get what you expected for Christmas? Yep, many cases, huh? We make our lists and our loved ones take those and they're grateful for the list. I know I am. It's like, yeah, help me out here. I want to talk about Christmas presents this morning. It's just the day after, right? Wrapping still on the family room carpet, maybe. I heard a story about a couple of women who noticed a nativity scene in a department store window display. And one of them turned to the other, and she said, "Would you look at this? Look at this. I can't believe it. The church is trying to horn in on Christmas, too." She's right. You're absolutely right. The church is trying to horn in on Christmas too. The church is trying to speak over the shouting and into the experience and under the presence under the tree. And this morning, the pastor of this church says, "I don't want to horn in on Christmas. I refuse to horn in on Christmas. I want to claim what's rightfully ours. I want to claim the good news. I want to proclaim the good news, and I want to share the good news." Unless we're careful, we've been saying this all throughout Advent. It is part of our Advent journey here together at FHPC. Unless we're really careful, unless we prepared ourselves properly throughout this season, Christmas and the good news it brings are easy to miss, aren't they? All of the hustle and the bustle and the activity and the festivities and the buying of presents and the wrapping of presents and the parties and all that stuff, it's so easy to just overlook Christmas. Christmas. In fact, the miracle of Christmas is so surprising, so extravagant, so far beyond imagining that it's easy to miss at any time of the year. We know that there's a lot of cynics out there. There's a lot that look at us and shake their heads. How can you believe this? Stars and babies and miracles. And what's up with that? What's wrong with you? It's not rational. It's not reasonable. The prophet Isaiah, great prophet Isaiah, he prays his Christmas list. This is from Isaiah 64, verse 1. He says, "Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and descend. Well, I come bearing good news." Isaiah got his wish, and we got ours. "Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and descend." Merry Christmas. The text that Debbie just read for us from 1 Corinthians is actually quoting Isaiah, right? It begins and says, "But as it's written," where it's written is in Isaiah, "what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived," the unbelievable, right? "What God has prepared for those who love him." It's beyond the imagining. It's beyond the hoping. It's beyond the wishing. It's beyond the asking. It's a treasure of great magnitude. It's a present beyond belief. He says, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is within us, if the Spirit of God is operating within us, if that Holy Spirit is at work, then we can perceive, then we can receive. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. I want to share something with you briefly. Another thing from Max Lucado. This is called Just a Moment. And I think this kind of sums it up. It all happened in a moment. A most remarkable moment. As moments go, that one appeared no different than any other. If you could somehow pick it up off the timeline and examine it, it would look exactly like the ones that have passed while you have read these words. It came and it went. It was preceded and succeeded by others just like it. It was one of the countless moments that have marked time since eternity became measurable. But in reality, that particular moment was like none other. For through the segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb. Do you get that? Do you experience the magnitude and the miracle of that? The omnipotent in one instant made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God is a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near. He came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla. Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. Angels watched as Mary changed God's diaper. The universe watched with wonder as the Almighty learned to walk. Children played in the street with him and had the synagogue leader in Nazareth known who was listening to his sermons. Jesus may have had pimples. He may have been tone deaf. Perhaps a girl down the street had a crush on him, or vice versa. It could be that his knees were bony. One thing's for sure. He was, while completely divine, completely, completely human. For 33 years, he would feel everything you and I have ever felt. He felt weak. He grew weary. He was afraid of failure. He was susceptible to wooing women. He got colds, burped, and had body odor. His feelings got hurt, his feet got tired, and his head ached. To think of Jesus in such a light is, well, it seems almost irreverent, doesn't it? It's not something we like to do. It's uncomfortable. It's much easier to keep the humanity out of the incarnation. Clean the manure from around the manger. Wipe the sweat out of his eyes. Pretend he never snored or blew his nose or hit his thumb with a hammer. He's easier to stomach that way. There's something about keeping him divine that keeps him distant, packaged, predictable. But don't do it. Don't do it. For heaven's sake, don't do it. Let him be as human as he intended to be. Let him into the mire and muck of our world. For only if we let him in can he pull us out. Listen to him. Love your neighbor was spoken by a man whose neighbor tried to kill him. The challenge to leave family for the gospel was issued by one who kissed his mother goodbye in the doorway. Pray for those who persecute you came from the lips that soon would be begging God to forgive his murders. I am with you always are the words of a God who in one instant did the impossible to make it all possible for you and me. It all happened in a moment, in one moment, a most remarkable moment. The Word became flesh. There will be another. The world will see another instantaneous transformation. You see, in becoming man, God made it possible for man to see God. When Jesus went home, he left the back door open. As a result, we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The first moment of transformation went unnoticed in the world. But you can bet your sweet September that the second one won't. The next time you use the phrase, just a moment, remember that's all the time that it'll take to change the world. So writes Max Lucado. Don't you find it curious that when the great Lord, the creator of the universe, the one who hung the stars in the heavens and who set the planets spinning in their courses, when this great God chose to come among us, he chose to come among us as a baby. And when that baby grew up, he told those who would be his disciples, you cannot enter my kingdom unless you return to me and become as a child. Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk? Eugene Peterson describes our real Christmas present as he paraphrases verse 9 of this morning's text in The Message. He does it like this. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like this. What God has arranged for those who love him. And the Apostle Paul fills in around this awestruck declaration saying, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk? Back in 1926, a preacher named Dr. James Allen took his turn at describing the Christmas gift. He did it this way. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today Jesus is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. So I don't know what you wanted for Christmas this year, and I don't know what you expected. But I do know that all of us got more than we could ever have dared ask for. As it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. Like I said before, who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk? Merry Christmas.